Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Pasta Party. I'm your host, Elliot Bromberg, of course, here with my co-host, Anthony Ferraro. How are you doing today, Tony?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing, Elliot?
That was pretty underwhelming. Big pause between the question and answer just to get good. I'm doing well.
You lagged out for a second in your audio, and I didn't know what question you said. So I figured if I said good, it would answer any question in an underwhelming way.
It did. Mm-hmm. I'm doing well. I'm actually in the middle of moving apartments right now, but I'm taking an hour to record an episode because I'm dedicated to the craft of improv. So
where are you moving? And what's your address?
What's your blood type? I'm
yeah.
Shh, Annie, not yet.
Sorry.
We haven't introduced you.
Oh my God, was that a ghost? What was that? Anthony, did you just throw your voice? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been working on voices. That's the voice of someone that I know personally that you don't know.
All right, Anthony, how about you introduce our guest?
Okay. Today on the podcast, we have Annie Barry, who was my old improv coach when I was in college, and she currently runs the Bandit Theater in Seattle. Hi, Annie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Yes,
welcome
of course.
To the podcast.
Anthony, you got the city right. Seattle, Washington. Yes. Woo!
Well, did you notice I didn't say Washington because I wasn't sure where Seattle was?
Oh, really?
That's yeah, in funny. My head, I'm like,
really?
Ooh, I couldn't remember. So
we're like,
it's a pretty big city.
Yeah, it's a big city, and it's really close to Canada, like about 3 hours from Canada and then 3 hours to Portland.
Disgusting.
So we're like the middle part. Whoa.
Whoa, Elliot, relax.
Sorry.
Do you ever cross over the Canada border to buy alcohol? Because they sell it to 18-year-olds there, right?
No, I don't
yeah,
do that.
Do.
One, because you can't cross the border right now because of the pandemic. You're only allowed to travel for like very specific reasons. And then also, I never went before all of that went down. So I need to go, but not to get alcohol. Mm. I can get alcohol here if I drank, which I don't drink.
And also, you're over 21, right?
I am.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I am.
This class is off to a great start.
Yeah.
This is why I don't post. Don't make me
post. I want to clarify my disgusting comment on Canada. It's just the Olympics are about to ramp up. And so, like, I'm just currently getting in the mood of, like, hating other countries. Sorry,
oh, yeah. Yeah, that's important for the Olympics. That's the best part. It's not about the sporting events. It's
about the xenophobia.
Exactly.
It's like,
it's
I'm liberal 3 years and 11 months out of every 4 years. Very liberal. The
yeah.
second the Olympics roll around.
Yeah. Fuck
Bust
the
ass.
Other nations.
You should see. Yeah. You
Damn,
should
this
see
is
my
a
burner
hot take
account.
From both of you.
No, I like the Olympics because I like when the advertisements come out. You know, the new Wheaties boxes with the new athletes and the fast food deals that happen. Like, doesn't McDonald's normally do a thing around the Olympics? Like,
well, yeah, I think it's ridiculous that they'll get like Olympic athletes to be like the cover of McDonald's, and you're like just like looking at like, you know, Michael Phelps just ripped, shredded. Holding a McDouble. You're like, you don't eat these, Michael. Yeah. You don't eat these.
Oh, but he was
maybe
a big
if he's in a salvia hole. Yeah.
I was going to
say,
yeah. Me
and Andy are on the same page.
Yeah, he's like just ripping bongs and like eating
yeah,
McDonald's.
Yeah, he gets it.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Yeah.
He's got a good balance to his life.
Definitely.
All right. Well, this is great, but we have an actual question prepared.
Do we?
Here we go.
Yeah, we do have a question prepared. Well, I have two questions prepared because I
don't
know.
Don't ask me. I don't know.
All right. The first question is, Annie, what would you say is your catchphrase? / do you have one?
Oh, do I have a catchphrase?
Something you say often.
And real quick, you do have a catchphrase.
For me,
I've heard you say
bazinga.
You say bazinga?
All the time.
While he's watching Big Bang Theory.
Oh, okay.
He beat Sheldon to the punch. That's what he does.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Anthony, you already know the answer to this, so I feel like you should tell me what it is, and then I will agree or disagree.
Okay, you're not going to like it.
Uh-oh. What is it?
It's, what a great improv scene, Anthony.
No, That's not my catchphrase.
You say it all the time.
Well, when I used to coach you, I definitely did say that you did good improv, but we'll see today. We'll see. And then I'm trying to think. Every time I coach improv, I will, like, after the set is done, I'll be like, cool. That was great. How did that
That's
feel?
True. That's 100%
yeah.
true.
How'd that feel? Yeah. I've heard the how'd that feel.
Yeah.
Like, well, it doesn't feel good now. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Well, because so much of doing art is personal, right? So, like, mm-hmm. if you do an improv set and it doesn't feel good, then even if the audience liked it, it's not good, right? Because we want you to feel like you're bringing your best foot forward and you're doing what feels good for you. So I think that if I was like to say outside of work, hell yeah. Like, that's something I say a lot. Like, I'm from Northern California, so I'll say like hella. Oh, I'll say hella tight. Like, that's hella tight.
Yeah, hella.
And then
is this a bit? Do you actually say this?
No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
No, this is a California thing. They say hella a lot.
Hella tight. I said it as a child. Yeah, like my older brothers and their friends would say it, and I would say it. So if something really is cool, I'll be like, that's hella tight.
Wow, it hurts that I've never heard you say it, Ben.
Oh, come on. You probably have, and you blocked it out because you were like, that's
probably
weird.
I was thinking about what I was going to say.
The improv comment.
Yeah. You weren't listening, Anthony. You were just thinking about what you were going to say. Your funny joke. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Exactly. Good impression of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on.
And if you want to replace him on the podcast, I think that would really
please,
help me.
Please
get
out
a lot.
Put me out of my misery.
No. I could never. You love him. You know you love him, Elliot. Come on.
I do. Yeah. I do. We love each other very much.
Yeah.
Say you love me, Anthony.
Thank you, Elliot.
No, don't
stop. You're so cool, too.
I'm going to start crying on the podcast. This is uncalled for. Anthony, what's your catchphrase?
If I was like in that blue collar comedy tour, it would probably be like, Mom, you can't put sauce on that. Like, Southern and Italian would be a good hybrid.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
I asked you what your actual catchphrase would be, not what it is, not what it would be in a
I
very
wasn't
specific
listening.
Yeah.
I also love the reference to the blue collar comedy tour. Like, that's still happening.
Those guys are cool. Foxworthy.
What even?
Cable guy. Who else? I don't know. I've never heard any of them.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're not cool.
What prompted that reference?
I have no idea. Truly no idea.
What would you say your regular catchphrase is on a regular daily basis?
Probably
you talk
like,
about like gabagool a lot.
Gabagool.
Yeah. I talk about it a lot.
He watched The Sopranos. He won't shut up about it.
I've actually never seen The Sopranos.
Oh, wow.
He saw the memes is what happened.
Oh. I've seen the memes, and I wrote a spec script called The Baritones. Yeah. How's that? How's that, Eddie? Eddie, grade that joke.
That's good. That's good. I like it.
Did you, like, prepare jokes for today, Anthony?
No.
He's got a teleprompter with the jokes just streaming.
It doesn't feel like we're having a conversation right now. Are you reading Twitter drafts to me right now? Is that what's happening?
Oh, I wish. I should write these down.
Yeah. You can listen to them later when you edit. You can fire them all off.
It's good.
Elliot, what's your catchphrase?
My catchphrase. I don't know if I have a catchphrase, but I do. Whenever I hang out with like my brothers, like when we're all home at the same time and my older brother's just home for a week, when I get bored during work, I will walk out of my room and go to my older brother's study and start just pretending to be like a British foreman. Like,
you remember the question, right? It's like, what's your catchphrase? Not what's a bit you do with your brother.
Not what's your go-to accent.
Yeah.
It's not good either. I just walk into a room and I go, oh, what's all this then? Oh, someone's slacking off on the job, eh?
And how does your brother respond? Does he, like, do the bit too?
No, he flips me off usually.
That's so funny.
He'll be in a meeting. He'll be like, get out. This is important. I'm talking to my boss.
Oi, what's all this then? Like, get the fuck out.
Well, I try to do it to my roommates also. And my roommates have learned that the best way to deal with me is to just stare at me and say nothing.
That's cold. And like,
I'll
just go from like a smirk on my face to like a frown and a single tear. I'll just like back real slowly into my room. Oof.
That's brutal. Somebody just like giving you an icy look and not responding is like, okay, yeah, I'm done. Bye.
It's the appropriate way. It's like I get treated like a misbehaving puppy a little bit.
Oh,
in the apartment.
That's so sad.
No, it's correct.
This is why you're moving.
I'm living with them still. Oh, yeah, we're
okay. Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Blink once if you're in trouble, Elliot.
What a weird blink. Were you stuck in me? Your eyes went crazy, and then you did like a wink, and then the other one went down.
It needed to be clear that it wasn't just a casual blink. It was a, you know.
Help me. I'm in trouble. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Try to Morse code that in blinks.
All right. What do we say about doing some improv? I'm the host now.
I thought you had another question. You said you have two questions for me. You only asked one.
The first question felt like a joke question.
Okay.
The other question that I was going to ask is, what is a social custom that you wish would end and why?
Ooh.
Serious question.
Ooh, I know. I wish that people who are not close with me would stop trying to hug me. Especially coming out of the pandemic, I've seen, like, I've had instances where people who, like, know me, like, through, like, social media or the comedy scene, be like, oh, Annie, and then they'll just hug me, and I'm like, dude, I don't know you. Like, I did a show a couple weeks ago at Unexpected Productions, and this guy, he's a nice guy, like, don't really know him, but I think we're friends on Facebook. I did a set, and he did a set, and I was going to leave. I was hugging my friends, my actual friends, and he just, like, opened up his arms and was like, Annie. And I was like, and it was like a tractor beam was, like, pulling me into him. I was like, I don't want to hug you. And then, like, he hugged me, and I was like, And then I left. So, yeah, I think that is the big one. Like, if I am not initiating the hug, then, like, don't go for it. Especially if we're not really, really friends. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Do you guys
Thanks for not name-dropping me in that story.
Yeah.
Anthony, you can hug me anytime. You're my friend, and I love you. I love you, Anthony.
Big win for me.
The one that I would like is to end is, like, people not hugging me back when I go for it. Like,
that's a good one.
Because I signal it across the room. I'll shout their name. Yeah. I'll be like, Annie, or whatever, you know, a random name.
Yeah. I mean,
big arms. And then I kind of like airplane at them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I go, here comes the airplane into the hangar, screaming it, running across the room. Big bear hug.
Okay.
And then people won't do it back to me.
Elliot, I've met you twice and I would hug you because I feel like we've had a rapport and it feels like safe. But like, this is people that you do not know, like, only have seen them on social media, and they're like, oh, we know each other because I've seen your photographs.
If you've liked my tweets, I get to hug you. That's the rule.
Oh, that's the rule? Okay.
Yeah. Elliot and I are down bad. We need attention and touch.
Yeah. Anthony, yeah. Your tweets are blowing up, so you have a lot of huggies coming your way.
My tweets are pretty good also.
I don't follow you on the social, Elliot. I'll follow you.
What?
Do I? I follow Pasta Party. No,
I'm going to cut this out of the episode for sure.
Brutal. All right. So I turn my camera off for your improv?
No, you're going to be doing improv with us.
I'm doing improv? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes, you're doing improv with us.
Oh, I thought I was just watching. I thought I was just observing.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is going to be a special episode for everyone who doesn't know. Annie, we're going to do improv with Annie, and then Annie is going to rip into us after our set.
And into myself. I'll give myself the what's what, too.
Yeah. And then Anthony and I will give you notes. Great. And then we'll give each other notes.
Okay, great. This is
and
for anybody,
about 40, 50 minutes of notes.
Anyone who doesn't do improv that's listening to this, do not do this with your teammates. It will destroy your team, giving each other notes. You want to always have a coach come in and give the notes so that you're not telling each other these things because it can breed contempt. That is my disclaimer at the beginning of this episode.
Wow. All we need from you, Annie, is a location.
Okay. Let's do backstage at a concert.
All right, you are going on in 2 minutes. Are you ready? Did you do your sound check? Is there anything we can do for you before we get you out there, right? The theater is packed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
This is going to be a good one, isn't it?
Yes, oh and gosh. we're so excited that you chose our theater here in Seattle.
Yeah.
So far from home for you to come and do your first special.
Well, you know, it's interesting because
right.
I was like, where can I go in the United States that's the furthest away from where I've come from?
Right.
And I was like, not Alaska.
Hawaii, probably.
Hawaii's good. Or Alaska.
Who has right. eyes on the Russell Brand impersonator? Who has eyes on them? Oh, she's right,
he's right here.
Okay,
he's right here.
Great.
He's
sorry.
Right here.
False alarm. False alarm. Boy, continue your conversation.
I'm working on just chatting. Or who is that? Was that the stage manager?
Yeah, that's my boss. That's my boss. He's very like neurotic, and he's kind of honestly. All right, don't tell him I said this, but he's a little bit detrimental to sort of how we as a crew manage like. He gives us notes about how to do riggings and stuff, like while we're pulling things down.
Yeah.
He gives a lot of kind of, you know, he's just kind of destructive. Like he's always correcting people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or telling them like what they could have done better. Or sometimes he tells us how we could have done things funnier, which I don't understand how that even factors into our job. But he's kind of like,
yeah.
I don't know. Sorry. I'm on a rant.
It's all right. You know, this is humanizing you to me because I like to think about this reminds me of a time I was backstage at a concert with a Katy Perry lookalike. And I was like, oh, we were married. Our actual versions of ourselves in this, you know, other world were married. So we should have sex. And we did. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was good. So anyway, it's
where are my car keys? Where are my car keys? Have you seen my car keys? The show cannot start until I have my car keys.
You're wearing the lanyard around your neck. They're right
I
there.
I know I'm wearing the lanyard. These are my backup keys. Okay, I don't want to use them. I want to find my real keys.
Governor, you really strung out tight, and I wanna. Can I just?
No, wait. I'm sorry. Don't call him governor. He's gonna take that as a power trip. He's gonna think he has that title now. Please.
Oh, you think I should run for office?
I mean,
no.
What are you saying?
You seem like you've got
so.
A lot going on.
Thank you.
You're a high-strung individual, and I think
Thank
that
you.
Perhaps some, you know, a trip to Canada or perhaps, you know, something else could calm you. Maybe rubbing your body down with some evaporated milk might. that might
Wait,
help.
What do you mean?
Relax your muscles. You take a
How?
Can of evaporated milk and you open
okay.
it with a can opener, you know, like
sure.
this.
Wait. Explain to me more about this can opener. How does it work?
Well, you got these two teeth and you put them on
okay.
a can and you close it and then you
yeah.
turn it, goes round and round and round the can.
Uh-huh.
And then it
and
opens.
Does it meet up at the spot
it
where
meets
you started?
Up, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Amazing yeah. technology
That's amazing.
That we have available to us now. You know, people are always, oh, computers and cell phones and, oh, isn't it amazing? And I'm like, listen, a can opener beats all of it, right? Like the simple things that make it possible.
Right. So this evaporated milk, it helps me how?
Oh, well, you know, you rub it into the muscles and
it
soothes them. And it's just a really good trick for tension inside of your
All right, I'm going to try that. I'm going to French toast myself backstage, see what happens.
You're going to French toast yourself?
What's that?
No, wait, sir, you cannot use the egg bath. That is for sir, that is for the closing act. you can't go in there. You're going to contaminate it. We have a magician after you, Russell. Is it okay if I call you Russell, by the way?
Yay.
I know you're impersonating. Okay. It's just easier for me. Russell, we have a magician after, and he's kind of an escape artist, and so instead of escaping from a tank of water, he is escaping from a tank of egg yolks. So and that's
with an active flame underneath. So if he doesn't get out in time, he turns into an omelet.
Yeah.
That is a really good trick. That is a very excellent idea. Egg.
Do you know his name? Do you know the magician's name?
David Blaine.
Well, he is a David Blaine impersonator.
Yeah.
He goes for the flavor of David Blaine, but his name is not David Blaine. What was his name again?
I was going to say Harry Egdini.
Right. Right, that was it. Which is not
you were going to say that, but what is his real name? Because you seem like you made that one up there, Governor.
His real name is David Eggs.
It's not,
which is like a pun on David Blaine, I think, which is good. I like mine better, personally. Mine, I think, was clumsy, but better.
Sir, I'm trying to get the show on the road. I feel like things are kind of falling apart right now. Sir, if you could get back up to the booth just so you're ready to do the lights so we can kick this thing off, that would be...
No. The show is not going to start until I get my car keys. That has not been resolved. I'm not leaving.
Why do we need your car keys?
Empty those pockets. I bet you have them. I bet you have my car keys.
Look,
maybe the David Blaine impersonator hid them in a realm that we cannot access with our mere mortal minds.
Okay. You might be right. I'll go check in with David Eggs.
Oh, well, I'm gonna hit the can. The loo, as it were, and because you know, if you're performing somewhere, you should always expel any waste ahead of time, so it feels like you own the place. So I took some Ex-Lax, so I'll be in the loo for about 20 minutes.
Sure. Shedding, smart thing to do before a show.
Shedding my linings. Sir, I'll go.
Yeah, right. Oh my god.
All right, sir. You go, Russell. Sir, you go find David Eggs, as you call them. I'm sure he can.
Well, I got a French toast myself, of course.
If you find David Eggs, you can go French toast yourself. Go find him.
Yeah, I heard someone was looking for me.
Hey, Mr. Eggs, how are you?
Do well, how are you doing?
Can I call you David?
You can call me Eggs.
You ever introduce yourself like Eggs? David Eggs. Like
right.
James Bond? Do you ever do that?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Or are you just thinking about what you're going to say?
Sorry, I was thinking about what I was going to say. And I just figured if I said yeah or good, that's normally how I get through conversations. So yeah.
Good is a good response to any question.
Absolutely.
All right.
Right.
Okay, right. Eggs. I have a question for you.
It's David.
No, you just said Eggs. Do not start with me. I just lost my car keys. I have to French toast myself. The show was about to start 2 minutes ago,
I've seen some car keys.
Okay, where?
Oh, it's not, nothing in life's that simple.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You gotta play my games.
Okay, I'll play your games. I need my car keys.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Is this a game or a riddle? Okay, riddles we'll play a game. It's not a game. A riddle's a riddle.
Riddles are mind games. Mind games.
What's your riddles. Riddle? What's your riddle?
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Easy. God. Next.
Oh, I see you've heard that one before. All right. The next test is I have this map.
Come on. Yeah.
There are several clues on here, and if you
follow this map... I don't have time to follow a map. I need my car keys so I can have them. Do you understand?
Well,
and then I have to French toast myself, which you already must know what that means. I'm not going to explain it to you.
Check your front pocket. You might feel something round in there.
This egg? Well, I don't want this. I ate already.
Crack it open.
Okay. crack.
It's a live chick. All right, now slaughter that chick. Slaughter it.
Oh, hi, chick. What's your name?
You happen? Do you notice the key-shaped imprint inside of that chick?
Jesus Christ, Mr. X, you're sick. This was the first riddle. You abandoned the map. This is back to the first riddle. You're sick. Is this part of the show?
Yes.
If
you look closely inside of that chick, that's a camera. Congratulations. You're on You Got Egged with David Egg.
David, we don't have time for this. You're on a show that's happening now.
Listen.
I'm on You Got Egged. It just hit me.
This is showbiz, baby.
I love when you got Ashton Kutcher.
Right.
That was funny. That was a good crossover.
Absolutely, that was a good crossover. We also had Chris Angel Mind Freak. Except it was
that's
a,
good.
It was, right, we also had his impersonator, Chris Angel Mind Meat, where his whole thing is he's steak-based.
egg baby. I think my baby that you put in me is about to be born. That
all right.
It wasn't 9 months,
this?
But it's coming this, out.
Who is this?
This is my bird. This is my lady.
Oh, it's your lady bird.
Yes, my ladybird.
Yeah.
Good joke.
That's not a joke. That's my name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My name is Ladybird. All right.
Okay.
Honey, this is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
All right. I built you this life-size incubator. So what I need you to do.
When did
you need to go
this?
In there and I'm a handy Backstage. Guy. I have lots of free time.
You didn't bring this here. I let you into the place.
And squeeze as hard as you can, and you're gonna pop out
okay.
the healthiest
egg.
Yeah.
It's the egg coming out. No,
it is an egg coming.
Yeah. We're on the same page, baby. You put an egg inside of me. I'm gonna pop it out. It goes in the incubator, and then it cracks open, and we got a baby, right?
Exactly.
That's yes. magic for ya. Okay.
And that baby. All right. All right. The egg's out.
Boy.
Five, everybody. 5 minutes, everybody, till stage time.
Oh, did you want me to wait until we're on stage, Eggy baby?
I hadn't even considered it. But,
just shove
but,
the yeah. egg back in my body really quick.
Yeah. I need you to take a wide stance.
Here you go.
Whoop.
Ah.
We see that in front of the curtain, there's like two people in the audience. It's a real small theater.
All right, baby, I'm ready whenever you want to go on stage.
All right, well, we have to let that Russell Brand impersonator go first.
Oh, no, baby, I went into the bathroom where he was, and he had had a heart attack, and he died. So, it just
All right. Out we go. All right. Come on, lady. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you.
You are not the host of the show, David Eggs. You cannot do this. You cannot start the show.
I'm sorry. This feels like it's a very disorganized theater.
How dare you? I was told I should run for office earlier. How dare you?
My opening act just died. No one's starting
Who cares?
The show.
I'm going to French toast myself on stage. They're going to love it. It's sick. Okay.
You're not even on the playbill.
I'm the manager. I can do whatever the hell I want. And I'm sorry to curse in front of you. I know it's unprofessional.
Yeah, don't say the H-E double hockey sticks word, please. Oh my gosh. Not in front of my egg baby that's about to be born. Oh, it's coming out again.
Oh, it's coming out. Baby, it's hatching. It's hatching.
You suck that back in.
No. It's time. Let's crack this egg open. Oh, what a beautiful baby. And look what he's holding in his hand.
Oh my God.
Your keys!
My car
your
keys!
Car. Your
Thank
car
you,
keys.
Mr. Eggs!
They were Scene. Inside me the Scene. Whole time!
Annie, when we asked you to be on the show, I thought having a grounded, experienced improviser would make us less crazy. And instead, we did the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, we just leaned into it. It's fine.
This was amazing. I love that one. It couldn't have gone better, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Okay, so we're going to use the second one, I assume, then? How do we all feel? Cool.
I like it. Yeah,
I think
I liked it.
I think it was a little more cohesive than the first one. The first one, like, because I think we had some confusion with, like, the, like, who was which character. And in this one, it felt very clear. Like, we were all grounded in our characters.
No.
Even though they were crazy. Yes. But even though they were crazy, they were still grounded in their beliefs.
The characters
and their
were consistent.
They were consistent. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was giving Elliot's characters all mop legs on purpose. I knew who was who.
Why are you doing that?
Because it's fun to me.
So basically what you're saying is that when you're doing improv, the reality of the scene does not matter because you just want to have fun and just paint whatever into the scene no matter what.
That's 100% correct in how I feel about improv.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. All right.
Well, I think this takes us perfectly into the portion of Annie, you giving us notes for the scene.
Yeah, how do we do?
I feel like this scene, it was so funny and so weird. Like, I loved leaning into the weirdness of it. I did not think I was Russell Brand when I got labeled.
It was a good impression of Russell Brand.
Russell Brand impersonator. I was like, okay, sure. And now, am I actually doing Russell Brand? I guess I am. So I was like, hmm. But it's interesting because in improv, they have this term called pimping. So pimping is like you tell your scene partner to do something like really hard and they have to do it. And I was like, oh, interesting. I pimped myself into this character and then you just labeled it.
Which is good to do, right? You said that's good to
that's
label.
Good. It's good to label. Yeah.
Thank you.
But it was funny because I was like, oh, I did this to myself. So I would give myself the note like, oh, maybe don't do a Russell Brand impression.
We also love to pimp. It's like our favorite thing to do.
Yeah, Anthony and I, that's like our favorite thing to do is like, within the context of the scene, just like adding a trait to someone that they then have to go and justify like why they have that.
I think that like pimping is totally fine when there's trust and like it's all in good fun. Although like in improv with people that are inexperienced, it can be like really damaging because people can be like, oh my God, like I can't do a Michael Jackson impression. Like I don't want to do improv. This is horrible. And so it's like, it's just important to like remember, I guess the note I would give is like, when you're playing with an experienced player, I think that's fine. And like, if you have a rapport with people, that's totally fine. But beware of pimping green people that are just like getting their bearings, because that can be like very stressful. So that would be my note about pimping.
Okay. Now that we've covered all the positives of the set, what did we do poorly?
I know you want me to be negative. I didn't think that
I know,
there was
be
a
mean.
Lot of negative stuff. I'm not a mean noter, Anthony. You know
okay.
this. This is why you
hired
me.
Well, let me ask you.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I could rip you apart for that first set, but it's not even going to make it into the episode. So.
I know.
Mop feet.
How did you feel about my Harry Egdini pun?
Oh, okay.
And then also French toasting myself, which I wouldn't let go.
I loved French toasting yourself. I think you need to say, if you're going to say something like Harry Egdini, you need to say it with like confidence. Like this is the thing, not halfway laughing and being like, this name. So it's like, yeah, you're making that up. That's not actually the person's name.
But the audience loves it when you struggle on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And then you pull something out of your hat. That's bad.
Yeah, the audience wants to really see the effort. Right.
Yeah.
They want to be taken out of the magic and watch this, the work happening. No.
Like if I said David Eggs with confidence, people would be like, they scripted this, obviously.
Oh, so your goal in improv is to make sure that everybody knows that you have no idea what you're doing.
You have to prove to the audience that you're making it up.
college all the time, people were like, was that actually improv? Like, did you guys make that up? Did you guys script this?
Yeah.
And we were like, no, it's improv. And what we realized is that was too good. And so Anthony would go for much looser. feel. So people there's no way they think it was scripted.
Yep.
So I will say, Anthony, I disagree. I think it's the greatest compliment you can get when doing improv, when someone's like, there's no way that you made that up. Like, that is, like, for me, such a compliment, such a good feeling. So I think I agree. That instead of being like, oh, I got to show them the struggle. Egdini, question mark.
All right, fair. I take the note.
Yeah, that's a good note. Let's see what else. I did love us bringing in the magician, and it's like so weird putting the eggs inside the chick. Like, I loved the pieces of that coming through, Elliot. Like, I was like, oh, there's gonna be the eggs inside or the keys inside the egg. Oh no, there's a chick. And the keys are inside the chick is so sick. I think that's amazing. Although I guess a note for me is that the eggs. The egg inside of my character also had the keys. So what were the real keys? What keys did those open? Were they actually Anthony's keys, or were they other keys, or were they copies of the keys? And that was never explored.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Good note.
Too many
Very
keys.
Good note.
Didn't clarify.
Too many keys in the kitchen. Am I right?
Too many keys in my body.
That classic improv
note. The doctor
note.
Says I'm going into toxic shock from all the keys in my body. A lot of plastic.
But yeah, and I loved like just forcing your way onto the stage and Anthony's like, whoa, you're not the host. Like, no, we're pressing forward. Like, that's such a funny thing, because I think a lot of times in improv, like, we can get stuck in the, like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, instead of just like doing the thing, right? So I love push forward.
I think backstage before a show can also be tougher, also because it's then there is like the looming possibility of a show that has to happen, which is like then kind of meta.
Yeah.
And like scary, and then like.
And hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought Elliot, we did a good job of that, like bringing the show together and also killing off the Russell Brand character, because I was like, I'm not going to do that again, which is kind of a baby move on my part to be like, nah,
well,
I just
it's a page from my playbook.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't want to do a character, kill him. Kill him immediately.
Kill him.
Another fun thing to do is if you start a scene and you do an accent, and within the first three sentences, you're like, this accent sucks. You cough. You go, sorry, I had a weird thing in my throat.
That is such a no-no. That is such a
no-no. Great tool to have.
No,
don't do the accent.
UCB 101 said, that's fine. If you justify the accent disappearing.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
That's so funny. Like,
I'll call up Amy Poehler now. I guarantee you, she says that's funny.
Get her
funny.
On the horn. Let's hear it. That's such a funny thing. I teach my level 4 class. We have like a class called Getting Out of a Jam, and so it's like anytime something crazy happens in a scene, like different ways to try and navigate it, especially like when you're in a jam scenario where you're playing with players you don't know or people who have varying levels of experience, like wanting to make sure that they have, you have abilities to like navigate. Cause like I was in a jam a couple of years ago and I was playing like a Sunday school teacher, and this kid's like, can we put our clothes back on? And I was like, wow,
yikes.
Really? Okay.
Yikes.
So I was like, okay, I have to make it not that I made them do that, because that makes me the predator and not unusual, but make him unusual. So I was like, yeah, Billy, I don't know why you took them off in the first place. Like, go ahead and put your clothes back on, please. Like, I've asked you. So it's like things like that, like navigating like tricky situations. So another one that I like to do is when somebody's being fucked up, I break their reality. So I'll like go over and like shake them and wake them up and be like, you're dreaming. You're dreaming. Wake up, wake up.
We do that a lot too.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. I just was told it was a bad move to cough out an accent. And what you are doing is starting a scene immediately being like, none of this was real.
Only if it's problematic material though, Elliot. Like I only do that if somebody's being like fucked up and I'm just like, whoa, like, and or you can like put them in prison. Like, wake up, the guard is coming.
You know what another fun move is? Is scene floundering. You're on the side stage, you come in, you yell cut.
It
zooms out, which is hard to do on a stage, but it zooms out and you're actually on a set, and then you go, people get powder applied to your face, and then you go from the top and then you make them redo
the scene. As an improviser, I hate when that happens because I'm like, fuck, I have to redo the scene I just did. I hate it. But I do like that move if something's like not working, to just like be like, yeah, this isn't even real.
Okay, Annie, how's this for a move? The guy comes in, he yells, cut. Okay, scene, let's run it from the top. And then another person runs on and goes, wake up, you're directing in your sleep again.
Yeah, that's actually really good because then you don't have to do the scene again. That's like a dream within a dream kind of thing. I love that.
Yes.
That's really good. I'm pro that move. And I'm going to steal it, Anthony. Thank you.
Please do. I would love to see that in the show.
Annie, do you have any other notes for us, or do you want to go ahead and just promote your stuff for the listeners?
Yeah, my only note is Anthony, do not. Anthony, not just decide that a character has the same attributes as a character they previously played, because it can be confusing when there's only three players playing. Make sure that they.
No, but it's audio only, so everyone gets it.
I don't think so. Not even that. As the improviser, I was like, who is this character? Now I have to justify what's happening. I like threw me into like a recalibrate moment where I was like, what's happening right now? Like,
okay, I accept the note, but have you considered that I thought it was funny?
I mean, I know you thought it was funny, you little stinker, and you did it anyway. This isn't your, the Anthony show, just like, I'm just gonna do whatever. Like, you need to be a team player. Be a team player, Anthony. That's my note, all right?
Oh, fine.
Elliot,
right.
You were perfect.
Thank you. I knew it. I knew I was perfect.
My note is like the fundamental rule of improv. Be a team player, failing at. Elliot is, good job.
No, oh, it was really fun. It was very fun to play with both of you. I enjoyed it, even though it was wacky.
Wacky.
Annie, do you have anything that you want to promote?
Yeah. So I am the founder and artistic director of Bandit Theater in Seattle, Washington. We have shows, we have jams, we have classes, all of this fun stuff happening. You can look us up on the social media, Bandit Theater, and we're also at www.bandittheater.org if you're interested in our show calendar, our classes, all that good stuff. We have a new jam starting called Smash the Patriarchy, and that is going to be every second and fourth Thursday at the Factory Lux. And immediately following that, we're premiering our new storytelling open mic called Gather Round. And I started taking storytelling during the pandemic, and I'm very excited to bring that into the Bandit fold. So that's very, very fun and exciting. Bandittheater.org. Check us out. Instagram, Facebook, all the stuff. Hit me up at Barry is Scary on Instagram. I don't have a TikTok because I'm not cool. But I do love the gram. So you can follow me on that. That's it.
All right. Everyone go ahead and follow Bandit Theater and follow Annie. You can, of course, follow me on Twitter at Elliot1T. Follow Anthony at Tony_Ferraro7. Stay up to date with the pod on Instagram and Twitter at Pasta Party Pod. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay al dente.